4th of July in the morning, with Sarah, Venerable Panyabahulo, John, Azita, Han, Venerable Damanando, Betty and Linda.
One comment Venerable Panyabahulo was saying after yesterday was that if, for example, we talk about the impermanence of dharmas because they're not experienced like this now, so for him it's no different from talking about a theory of science or no more useful because it doesn't seem to relate to what is experienced now.
Is that not the beginning of developing understanding of reality right now?
It's the beginning. Because last night I was engaged in a very strange experiment. I kept closing my eyes and looking at the reflection of the blind on the wall. And I was just aware that I couldn't see, I cannot experience the arising and ceasing of the rupa. And all I can do within myself is to notice that, okay, at the moment I'm seeing, and the next moment I'm thinking, but not actually experience any rising and falling during the moment of seeing. Mm-hmm. So it was like as hypothetical as saying yesterday that this is nothing but energy or subatomic particles arising and disappearing, just the same.
What about the usual daily life? And there can be a moment of beginning to understand or think about the true nature of realities. That's all. It's impossible to directly experience the arising and falling of anything right now, because it has to be the developed panya. Because even it's true that seeing arises and falls away, but no one can experience that. Only the developed panya, from hearing, considering, until it's time to really understand reality, very little from moment to moment. Because now avicca, wrong understanding, and akusala follows the seeing, the hearing, all the time, gradually, as it's like this. So when panya develops, it has to be just like this. It cannot be different from this. Very natural.
So should we keep reminding ourselves?
I think that when it's time to understand, to think about, to read or to hear Dhamma, it's the development of understanding by itself. And when it's time for akusala to arise by conditions, no one can stop its arising. So right understanding can understand the difference between moments of kusala and akusala as all are not self. There are conditions for each reality's arising. And one will be relaxed because there is no control.
Right.
Just understand whatever appears as conditioned reality. For example, right now there is seeing. Usually, there is no awareness of seeing as just a reality which can be seen. This can be seen as much as it could be is to be seen, that's all. So how can we get something from it, like being or things or story, as other thing besides just visible object which can be seen? This is the way to get rid of the idea of self or other wrong idea about trying to control or trying so hard to have understanding.
Right. And that's where the meditation techniques have failed in my practice, is always this feeling of disappointment, frustration, because you try so hard with expectation.
So one can see how come that moment by ignorance. If there is no ignorance, and when there is right understanding, it's not forcing oneself without the development of panya, of right understanding.
Well, just following on that, Venerable Panyabahulo asked, should we give ourselves reminders? And I think your answer was, in effect, that is forcing, that is trying. So if that's not the way, then how do the reminders come?
What about this moment?
This moment,
will it not be conditioned? Will it not be conditioned for the next moment?
Should be, yes. Yeah. Well, a next moment, but we don't know
because
when.
Next moment is not this moment. When Panya arises at this moment, it will be conditioned for the next moment for Panya to arise. How can one expect anything from this moment without Panya? Just ignorance will condition more ignorance later. But when it's Panya, it will condition Panya. Because Panya is also Sankhara Khanda. All Nama except Vedana and Sanya are Sankhara Khanda. Leave it to Sankhara Khanda, not to anyone else.
When the avicca is so much more dominant than the Panya, then it seems that there'll just be conditions for more and more avicca and not many conditions for the Panya.
That's why Panya cannot grow without pariyatti.
So it's hearing the teachings.
Yes, yeah. Carefully.
Okay. Considering.
But isn't that considering the same as reminding oneself?
I don't mind what word one uses, but whatever arises is conditioned. How come to be such reminder or thinking about that without the previous understanding moments?
When we talk about considering, we mean considering the teachings for their own sake.
Or
not trying to have more awareness. Mm-hmm. Just out of an interest in the teachings as such.
Earlier, Han Tun was saying that for him, the path is very simple. He's not so interested in the intellectual detail, but for him it all comes down to don't do evil, do good, purify the mind.
Can anyone do that?
Well, I'm trying to do that.
Because after seeing moment, that is a kusala already. Who can stop that? Abstain from evil, and a kusala moment is evil. Who can stop that? This is the difference between an arahata and putushna, or the Aryans like Sotapanna and Sakatagami and Anagami. Because seeing is seeing to everyone.
Yes.
But the citta which follows is different. For an arahata, no akusala at all. How come to be such understanding without akusala at all? But for putushna and sotapanna, sakatagami and anagami, there can be conditions for akusala to arise. Without panya, that cannot happen for an arahata. After seeing, there is no akusala moments at all, even the latent tendencies. So it's not as simple as thinking about abstaining from evil and doing good deeds. And what about the purifying citta from all akusala? Without panya, it's impossible.
Purifying, yes. Without panya, you cannot do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
the
akusala
abstaining,
is,
and
yeah.
All, for example, if you observe the five precepts, that is your abstaining.
Yes.
It may not be accompanied
forever?
By panya or not.
Forever? Or temporarily?
Yes, temporarily.
Why not forever, like an arahata?
Well, we are still a putusana.
Yes, so. But we can go on developing understanding to reach that state. Otherwise, one doesn't follow the teachings of the Buddha, because to abstain from ill deeds can be taught by other teachers. And
well,
in order to follow the teachings, it's impossible not to study the teachings.
So when the Buddha talked about abstaining from akusala, you're suggesting that it doesn't just mean the same kind of abstaining that someone who has not heard the teachings would understand. So that means, is there an element of satipatthana there also?
Because it's not I who abstains.
Because otherwise, it seems to me, if we were just developing ordinary kusala, as it were, we would still be developing conditions for life in samsara.
And there is no understanding about akusala, too. Because after seeing there is akusala, who knows that? Only the Buddha taught about this very, very weak akusala, which can follow each doorway instantly. After seeing there is akusala, who knows that?
Well, I don't know, but I assume that people before the time of the Buddha who developed the high jhanas, would they not know that level of kusala?
But not as close as in the same process.
Whatever you see, if it is followed by akusala, for example, if I see Venerable, is that also akusala?
Yeah. Yes. But there is no understanding what's there.
It could be kusala too, it doesn't have to always be.
Difficult to
hear,
but if I see
that,
I thought it would be kusala to see you.
It's there. Is that kusala? Good to see him.
I think it would be kusala to see a monk.
Oh, you mean kusala vipaka?
Yes, kusala vipaka.
But then Ajahn is talking about what follows that straight after that.
Which is what? The idea of self. Is the akusala the idea I see?
Which do not understand the true nature of visible object as it is. And there is also clinging to seeing.
No, no, we are not going to the next step. We are just saying, when you see something, akusala, that is Ajahn was saying. That's why I am asking, if I see the Venerable Monks, is that akusala?
No, she's talking about the moment immediately after.
No, no, not really after. We're talking about the seeing. So.
You're talking about the seeing.
Yes. Yeah. What Ajahn was also talking.
I don't think.
But you see who? Who do you see?
Venerable Monks.
And what do you see?
It's a couple.
Different?
Well, I think it's different.
By thinking?
Yes.
So, thinking at that moment is kusala or akusala, can that be known?
Thinking depends on which object you're
yes,
seeing.
Yes, but there can be kusala, which things, or akusala, which things. Can that be known? Which is which?
I don't understand your question. I don't understand. But it's very simple that if I see a monk, it's a kusala sita. And that's what I understand. The intention comes later on. If I want to offer something to the monk, then it will be something else. But at the moment of seeing, when I see a monk, it is kusala sita for me.
But at the moment of seeing,
yes,
there is no monk. You only know it's a monk by thinking, because seeing just sees the visible object.
Seeing is just seeing the visible object.
So I cannot go to that deep.
No, nor can I, but we can discuss the...
Is a monk always Tharama? Is it always a desirable object? An intrinsically desirable visual object?
I think that only Satipatthana can tell directly what moment is kusala or akusala, because we think that it's kusala, but actually is it kusala or not kusala when there is no understanding about that reality?
I think that in answer to your question also, it would depend on the karma at that moment of seeing, whether one's looking this way or this way, whether it's the visible object is a desirable object or not. No way of knowing, because it just depends on karma that conditions that moment of seeing consciousness. But of course, immediately afterwards, when the thoughts of monk can be kusala or akusala, usually akusala, because we think it must be kusala when we look at or think about the monk. But often there's attachment, for example. Oh, we're pleased to see the sight of a monk, or now we can pay respect, or now I have the chance to give an offering or something like this.
Do you call that loba?
Can be. Usually loba. Loba is very common.
Okay.
I wanted to ask about the approximate cause of faith, satta, which is said to be satheyavatu, a faithworthy object, or an object that's worth believing in. But to serve as an approximate cause, how does it have to be encountered? Is it encountered as an object of thought, and so it gives rise to faith? Or does it refer to, say, something external, like a book about the Dhamma that you read, or maybe a monk you meet or something?
I think that even the meaning of faith or satta should be understood clearly, because we might think that it is satta, but actually it's not. For example, at moment of Vakali, when he watched the Buddha from morning on, Satta or Lobha or attachment. The other cannot tell. Only that person with Sati and Panya can tell. Otherwise, there is no way to eradicate all akusla because we take akusla for kusla.
And what factors are relevant that cause a satyavattu to be the cause of faith in one person but not in another?
You mean kusala?
I mean a satyavattu, which is like usually one of the three jewels or the tisarana, will be a proximate cause for faith in one person but not for somebody else. So what are the factors that differentiate these two?
It can be the accumulation of the individual. For example, for those who do not have faith or belief in Buddhism at all, in the Buddha's time, when they saw Buddha, they had akusala citta instead of kusala.
Right.
So it does mean that when the object is object for kusala, and everyone has to have kusala citta.
I'm sorry, yesterday, going back, talking about the famous quotation from the Malunkya Putta Sutta about when seeing is only seeing, hearing is only hearing. Now, this question, is there a difference between a monk and a glass of tea or whatever? And the reason I ask is because I go to Swayamin for the Wasa this year in Burma, and Swayamin Sayadaw said, if you hear something, that's hearing. But if you know what you're hearing, then you're not meditating anymore. You've gone too far, which is the same thing. You've gone into thought. Yeah? If I look at the microphone and I don't individualize it, I don't say, oh, this is a microphone, or I don't label it or something. But then as soon as I start to see it as a concept, as a thing, as an object, then what should I do? Should I stop myself? Should I try to stop the thinking process and switch to something else in order to avoid that akusala, to try to cut out that aspect of seeing or hearing?
Did he tell you to do anything?
No, only to watch.
That is to do. To watch
to be aware,
is to do.
To be aware.
That is to do, to be aware again. Yeah.
There's no control over it. So that's the point. There's no control, there's no self. It's going to arise. For instance, like, if I get angry, and that happens quite often, if I get angry, I like to think, why isn't the thoughts about Dhamma arise when I'm angry? Because there's no control. There's no me to control it. There's no way I can say, okay, I'm going to think about the characteristics of realities, or I'm going to think about that if I'm getting angry at somebody, it's my own accumulations. You can't control what the thought is going to arise. It just doesn't happen.
So what do we do?
Well,
we see, we hear, we think.
What's the aim?
To end suffering. I mean, that's the...
Is there suffering right now?
There wasn't.
No need to end now.
You were mentioning the last words of the Buddha. Would you like to bring that up?
Yeah, it's just because I'm not a Pali scholar, there are different translations, but my understanding is that he said something like, you have to work out your own salvation with diligence, or you have to work out your own salvation, implying for me that you have to somehow use all the tools, a whole selection of tools that we have available. For example, the Buddha taught 40 types of meditation and all kinds of wise reflections and so on and so on and so on. That we have to use whatever tools are necessary that suit us best to do the job. People talk about Satipatthana Sutta, but for me, in that sutta there are so many paths to follow. There are so many different things contained within that sutta. And so it's like what I said this morning, it's like if you're putting a shelf up, you don't use every tool in the toolbox. You just need a hammer and a screwdriver and a drill maybe or something. Mm. and more I see myself drawing on different things.